1971. Since 2001, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with serious and keen spiritual practitioners and others who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace and liberation from birth, aging, sickness and death, and all mental suffering. He gives Dharma talks and holds meditation and Dharma classes at various Buddhist centers. We welcome Brother Teo.
Thank you so much for the kind introduction. Very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dharma. Okay. Today's Dharma talk, the title is, like it was introduced, it stressed on harmony and friendliness via the Buddha Dharma. I believe by now you are quite familiar with this series of talk that we are trying to, maybe for this whole of this year, to help realize a very important vision that your society has come out with. So just like my previous talk on the previous Sunday, I think last month, I talked about Kayanamitaship, the importance of promoting Kayanamitaship among Dharma friends, Dharma practitioners, devotees, and even seekers of the truth and all those. So this topic today is a continuation from that one. But the emphasis is now more of understanding it through the Buddha Dharma, means the teachings of the Buddha. So the teachings of the Buddha called it the Buddha Dharma. As you know, Dharma is truth. All of truth that governs all of life and existence in this universe, the Buddha has taught them, and he called this the Dhamma. So the Dhamma is something that we need to understand, and when we understand them, we can apply them. And when we can apply them, we can live the noble life, or what they call the noble life of a noble ones. Noble ones during the time of the Buddha, they are called enlightened ones. Enlightened ones in the sense that they are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in the way they conduct themselves, the way they arise their speech, the way they communicate with you, the way they go about performing their livelihood, the way they go about carrying out all of the action that they need to do. And they are very noble in their understanding of life and existence. That's why they can constantly arise what the Buddha said, the right thought, the right speech, the right action, and the right livelihood. So these are the basis of goodness, kindness. Without this right thought, right speech, and right action, and right livelihood, it's very difficult for living being to have harmony, to be friendly, to have the goodness to coexist as a community. So this very noble or beautiful vision of your society is they want to establish what they call towards a friendly, loving and caring Buddhist center. Then later on, we actually expanded it. We said from the SJBA Dharma Center, if we can achieve this noble vision, when all of members within SJBA, starting of course with the EXCO member, who were led by example, if they themselves can transform and realize the Dhamma, then they can also, like I said in the previous talk, have a lot of wisdom, virtue, and understanding to bring about this realization of this noble vision to be friendly, loving, and caring. So from the Dhamma Center, it can spread to the Buddhist community. Then from the Buddhist community, it can actually touch the heart of all living beings. then our world can be different. Then this world can really, like what we want to realize, the ultimate vision, towards a friendly, loving, and caring world. A planet that we can all be proud of. A planet that we can rely on to have the noble life, the happy life, where there will be a lot of love, a lot of friendliness, a lot of kindness, a lot of compassion that will bring about the great harmony, where there will be no more war, no more conflict, no more of those what they call negativity, cunningness and deceitfulness that can bring about what they call misunderstanding, conflict, war, and all those what they call suffering events that history has actually recorded a lot of this. So if we can help bring about this vision to transform this community of ours, and finally to transform the whole planet's living beings' consciousness, then we would have achieved a very, very noble vision. So coming back to today's topic, maybe I just write it down so that you all know what the topic is. Okay, today's topic is about harmony. And friendliness. We are understanding the Buddha Dharma. As we all understand, the Buddha Dharma is the teaching of the Buddha, the truth. So the emphasis is two: harmony and friendliness. Together with harmony and friendliness, we will have what they call love, compassion, and wisdom, which is the message of the Buddha. So as Buddhists, as the follower of the Buddha, we need to ask ourselves two very sincere question: are we really a true committed Buddhist? Can we really be proud of telling people that we are the follower of the Buddha, the disciple, the true disciple of the Buddha? Yeah. The important point that I want to emphasize today is we don't just hold on to the religious label and say we are Buddhists. That's why we can be proud of him. We can be proud of becoming a Buddhist. But a true Buddhist, a true disciple of the Buddha, to be worthy of him, we have to have two things. First, we need to follow his advice. Understand or not? What are the advice of the Buddha? What did the Buddha advise us? As Buddhists. What is his advice? Yes. Ah, yes. Very good. Our brother here say, do good. What else? You have to avoid all evil, isn't it? And that is the most important. If you can avoid all evil and all negativity, then there will be harmony, right or not? Of course, after that, you have to bring forth the right effort to do good, to cultivate whatever goodness and wholesomeness, because goodness doesn't come along by itself. It needs wisdom and understanding to arise. So the basic advice of the Buddha is like what you have written outside, behind your gate, the entrance there. Actually, it was written in yellow. You have the English version and you have the Mandarin version. I think the Pali version you are familiar. We have actually gone through a few times. All Buddhas, when they come, they advise the living being and the monks the same thing. The Buddha said, Sabbe papasa akaranang, kusalesa upasampadan, sacitta pariyodhapanang, etang buddhana sasana. The meaning is, based on Dhammapada verse 183. The Buddha said, Sabbe, all. All evil, papasa, akaranang, you have to avoid. And he has a reason for that, because he is the fully enlightened one. He is not only enlightened, he is perfect in his enlightenment. That's why he is very wise. He is the wisest of them all, even until today. The whole universe, not only within humanity or mankind, even amongst the devas, all of living beings in the entire existence, he has the highest wisdom. That's why he is so wise. He can tell you, this is what you need to have the good life, to have the noble life, to have the happy life, to live a life of enlightenment, to live a life that is free of all suffering, free of all fear, worry, anxiety, and unhappiness. So if you can follow his first advice to avoid all evil, you already have done fairly well, because this will allow you to avoid all the negative karma, and it will allow you to avoid all the negativity repercussion or fruition of the negative karma. And this will help to prevent a lot of unnecessary suffering from arising. Then the second advice is Kusalesa Upasampadan. What is Kusala? Kusala is what? Wholesomeness, virtue, goodness. Whatever goodness and wholesomeness is, if you have the condition to do, you should try to do. Because these are very important to you, the Buddha said. These are very meritorious. It brings about a lot of goodness and merit to you. And this is what the Buddha called kindness, goodness, generosity, virtue. If you cultivate this, the Buddha said, the nature's law, which governs a very major portion of your life and your existence, the law of karma, it will take effect. And like the Buddha said, the law of karma is very simple. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. So if you have goodness, kindness, you are doing a lot of goodness, kindness, wholesomeness. That's why karmically, it will come back to you. You will receive this great blessing. That's why you look at this world today. Why is it so many of humanity, they have the good fortune to inherit so much wealth, so much merits and goodness, that their life can become so different? Whereas on the other side, there are so many that suffer tremendously, like everything is not right to them since birth. You look at even the two famous, I don't know what you call them, philanthropy, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Why are they so wealthy? Because this life, again, the same thing they do. They donated such a major portion of their wealth towards what? Towards helping humanity, helping the world, helping the environment, the consciousness. They have so much goodness and kindness, and their field of merits is actually enormous. If they do it like what happened to them, with understanding and love and compassion and wisdom, which they have even before this life, that's why life after life they come, they will do. And they will reap what they sow. In future, if they choose to come again, they will be tremendously wealthy again and successful. So this aspect of goodness, wholesomeness, if you want to have your good life and the good fortune, you have to cultivate. Avoiding all evil is to avoid all suffering and what they call karmic negativity that you inflict upon others. What are evil? The Buddha said, if you were to violate and break all your precepts, the five precepts that you chant just now, you are an evil person. If you don't have evil, evil means living beings that have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You heard of this before? The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion? They are the roots of all evil. If you understand this, you'll be very, very careful with these three evil roots. If you have any of these three, you are an evil person. So the teaching is very simple. To avoid all evil, you have to train this mind to be ever mindful of these three evil roots, where you can see your own selfishness, your own greediness, your own lust, desire, covetousness, your deceitfulness. This is the first evil root of greed. So when you see this, the Buddha say, you better be careful. It is the root of all evil. Because of selfishness, because of greediness, because of what they call desire and covetousness and lustfulness, do you know what you can do? You can become very evil. A selfish person can just cheat, deceive, kill, cause a lot of harm and damages, not only to living beings, to society, to the environment, to whatever that they come across because of their selfishness. Then we check the precepts. What is the first precept? What is the first precept you chant? Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. What is it? We undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to others. What type of person can do that? Huh? Who will cause harm and kill? An angry person, correct or not? Anger is an evil root, understand not? A person full of hatred, full of jealousy, full of envy, they can harm. They can cause a lot of negativity. A selfish person also can do a lot of this type of wrong action or negative karma. You will violate this first precept. A deluded person who don't understand the law of karma, who don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, they are so heedless, they can also violate this precept. So now you see, evil roots are the roots of all evil. If you hold on to them, you can create a lot of negativity. You can violate a lot of what they call moral precepts. So not only the first precept, the second precept is what? You undertake the training rule to abstain from stealing, taking things that don't belong to you. What type of person steal and take things that don't belong to them? Huh? A greedy person, yeah. A selfish person, yeah. So you see, the evil roots is there. And because of that, they also have what they call delusion, ignorance. Without this ignorance or delusion, the evil root of selfishness, greed, and hatred can never arise. So it's the same. The third precept is what? We undertake the training rule to abstain from sexual misconduct, inappropriate sexual relationship that can cause misery and suffering to our beloved. When you enter into a marriage contract or a relationship to come together as husband and wife, or even as boyfriend and girlfriend, it is a very serious commitment to that social contract. And when you are committed, and when you are very sincere, then there is harmony. Then the relationship will flourish. When there is sincerity to enter into that relationship, there will be trust, correct or not? If you are very sincere, you trust each other. And when you trust each other, you never question. As long as that trust is not breached. This will bring about what? Harmony, understanding, love, and joy within the relationship. But the moment this trust, this sincerity is being breached, the whole relationship falls apart. That's why a lustful person, a deluded person, a heedless person can violate and break this precept. So if you do this, the Buddha said, a lot of suffering can arise. Not only to you, not only you feel miserable after that. Your loved one, your spouse, your children, your in-laws, your parents, your brothers and sisters, and everybody that have relationship with you, they will worry for you. They will be affected by what happened. So a life based on the Buddha Dharma, based on the teachings of the Buddha, if you were to observe all these precepts which are very vital to your life, it can bring about a lot of harmony, a lot of understanding, a lot of what they call love, peace, friendliness, caringness. That's why when you have this noble vision understood, like what I explained earlier on, first I introduce to you what this vision is all about. Towards a loving, a friendly, and a caring Buddhist community or Buddhist center. Then it extends to the Buddhist community. Then we can, if possible, later on, extend it to the whole planet and the world. Then I explain the importance of this vision, how noble this vision are. Then from there, we move on to the next series of talk. We actually talk about how to arise a blueprint after you have discussed and brainstormed on this very important vision to establish a very important blueprint or footprint to allow you to have a clarity of vision to implement. So the implementation stage, I have already actually went into it. To implement this important vision, we must have certain understanding of the Buddha's teaching. We must have the what they call important advice of the Buddha that I talk about understood. That's why just now I said there are two things. You have to follow his advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. His second advice is equally important. He told the monk, but I think as lay people who cultivate the Dhamma, we also have to heed this very important message. He told the monk before he died, Apamadena Sampadeta, he said, you have to strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. Train your mind, be heedful, ever mindful, to see your mental intention behind all of your actions, speech, and thought process. Means what? To see the evil roots. Wherever there is this evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You know what is delusion or not? How many of you don't know what is delusion? You know what is greed, huh? You know what is anger and hatred, huh? What is delusion? Delusion is ignorant of the truth. Understand or not? So when you are deluded, when you don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, when you are ignorant of the noble truth, you don't know how to live life. You don't know the secret of life. And because of that, the Buddha said, you are heedless. You are deluded. A deluded person has a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, because they don't understand what is going on. And because of that, their mind, most of the time, is restless. Very, very frightened. A deluded person doesn't understand the law of karma. They don't believe. That's why they are heedless. They are deluded. And they dare to do all of the negativity. Then they get themselves entangled in the what they call suffering process without realizing how they get themselves entangled. How through their own heedlessness they violate all of the moral precepts that condition their what they call karmic fruition to receive all this suffering. So all this you will come to understand once you follow the advice of the Buddha. You determine to strive on with heedfulness, to train this mind in meditation, so that you can develop the awareness within, the heedfulness within, to be constantly aware of life, aware of all of your mental intention while you live your life. The mental intention behind the arising of all your thought process. The mental intention behind all of your action and your speech that you want to, what they call, communicate with people. Then you also are very mindful of all your mental intention behind the way you live your life. So this quality of mind, heedfulness, mindfulness, is very, very important. So when we understand the importance of this advice and this message, we were determined through our own faith in the Buddha and his teaching, we will arise what he called the spiritual resolve or zeal, virya. When you have these two spiritual faculty very strongly developed through your devotional practice, your respect to the Buddha, reverential salutation, if you do it with understanding and you do it mindfully, it brings forth what they call the very collected and composed mind. Because when your faith is very strong, your faith in the Buddha and his teaching is very strong, your mind is very collected and composed, then this spiritual zeal or resolve, the virya, will arise. Then you will be able to pay respect mindfully. Then mindfulness, the third spiritual faculty, will arise. And with this mindfulness train, you continue to train this through your meditation. That is another topic. If we have time, we go into it separately. Then when you have developed this, you will be able to cultivate what the Buddha called the meditation as taught by him, the Noble Eightfold Path. Like just now, you all in the puja, you all recited. As long as you are committed to these three refuges, the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha, then after that, you commit yourself to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. It will lead to the cessation of all suffering. It will lead to what they call enlightenment in the here and the now. It will change you completely. Your whole life will be transformed. That's why the beauty of today's topic is, when you understand the Buddha Dharma, the true message of the Buddha and his teaching, your life changed. And this is something money cannot buy. Actually, if you were to look back, I always said, the sincere true Buddhists, they are really very, very blessed. You know why you are very blessed? Do you know why? Because this is one of the very rare teaching in the world that can actually explain to you the whole secret of life. When you understand the teaching, the Buddha Dharma, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, you will know how to live life. You can free yourself from all the what they call realities of life and existence that can result in what they call suffering, misery, sorrow, lamentation. You look at life today, there are so many people who are afflicted by what they call the problems of life. You heard of these problems of life or not? You've gone through life, you know, I think. A lot of us have seen how people suffer and become miserable. So during the time of the Buddha, he actually introduced this understanding through his Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths are very important. Maybe I write it down so that it can help you to understand. These Four Noble Truths are essentially the essence of his teaching. Okay, I believe most of you must have heard of this Four Noble Truths. What is the first Noble Truth? What is the first Noble Truth? Noble Truth for what? What did the Buddha talk about under the first Noble Truth? suffering. I heard this word, suffering. Most of you are familiar with this word, suffering. But actually, you have to understand this first double truth correctly. Because if you don't, a lot of people has the misconception. They say, to the Buddha or Buddhism teaches what? Life is suffering. You heard of that, isn't it? Do you agree with that? She said yes. Because she has seen a lot of suffering in humanity. So in that sense, it's true. But to those who are cultivators, to the Buddha, no. Life is not suffering, is it? Life can be beautiful, meaningful. When you have the wisdom, when you are able to awaken to his Buddha Dharma, when you can become enlightened, he said, life take a turn. Life becomes something so completely different. There is so much joy, so much peace, so much happiness to life. There is so much meaning to life, he said. The moment you become enlightened, the moment you understand his Buddha Dharma, you don't have any more suffering. Means what? Nothing in this world can make you unhappy. Nothing in this world can make you miserable. Nothing in this world can arise any fear, even worry and anxiety in you. That's why this is a very beautiful teaching. If you understand, it is truly beautiful. So he summarized all of life into this four noble truths. And I used to call it the secret of life. You know what is a secret? It's something mysterious, isn't it? So when you understand the secret of life, you will know how to live life, correct or not? So what's the secret of life? The Buddha actually summarized all of life, not only the mundane life, even the spiritual life, into these four simple but very beautiful truths. He called it the noble truth. So this first noble truth, he talked about the noble truth of dukkha. You know what is dukkha, huh? What is dukkha? Huh? What is dukkha? A lot of people translate as suffering. But it's not only suffering. Dukkha means all of your unsatisfactoriness. Understand not? All your unhappiness, all your sorrow, lamentation, all your fear, your worry, your anxiety, they are part of dukkha. That's why when you don't have the understanding and the wisdom, you will suffer. You will have a lot of dukkha. So the Buddha said there is a noble truth that talks about this. He never said life is suffering. Understand now? That's why the Buddha said, if you don't understand this noble truth, when you confront them, you will become miserable. You will be afflicted. You will suffer. So he called this the reality of life and existence. There are a lot of realities within your life and your existence. What are the realities? He said, if you live long enough, what will you confront? All living beings, if you live long enough, you will experience old age, sickness, and death. Isn't it? Death. Of course, there is also birth. So under the first noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed, this first four conditions, he said there are eight conditions that can make you afflicted, miserable, suffer. Arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety. So the first four, he said, this is common to all humanity. We are not alone in this. So when we confront this, you have to remind yourself, you are not alone. All of humanity have to experience this if they live long enough. So what is the meaning? The one that don't understand, attach, cling, worry about it, they will suffer. Understand not? If you understand, if you have the Buddha Dharma, if you have the wisdom, when this thing arise, the Buddha said, you need not suffer.
That's why you can transcend birth and death. You can transcend old age, sickness, and disease. It is not going to be a problem anymore, the Buddha said. You will, by then, after you have meditated, develop the wisdom born of his Buddha Dharma teaching, you will understand clearly what this body and mind is all about, what this human being is all about. Then you will be very clear that the body is only elements. There is no knowing, so the body cannot be you, understand? And if it's not you, why do you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die? Understand? There is delusion, there is ignorance. And he explained further. He said, when you meditate and look deep within, you will see that this human being consists of what he called the five aggregates of form and mind. They are conditioned arising, karmically conditioned out. Not you, anatta, non-self, anasana, empty in its nature. When you understand all those, you will actually have a very clear understanding of what this form and mind, this human being is all about. The human being is nothing more than a mind, a consciousness trapped inside this physical form, karmically conditioned out into this world to live, to experience all of life. But if you don't understand what this is, you deludedly cling and grasp and hold on to this human being thinking that it's you. That is the major delusion. That is how you become selfish. When you have this, what they call wrong view with regard to this human form and mind, the Buddha said, you will cling, you will hold. You think there is an entity. You think you are real, you exist. Then what happened? The personality, the egoic mind will arise. And because of that, you will want to do what? You will become selfish then. That's why greed, selfishness, the evil root come to be. You can become angry there. Then because of this wrong view, you are deluded there. That's why the three evil roots are there. So Sakkaya Ditti is very dangerous. Wrong view with regards to this form of mind, thinking that it's you. You have to break this. You have to free this. So when you break this through your meditation and your wisdom and your understanding, then you will be very clear. Then like the Buddha said, you have to constantly reflect every day. He even told the monk, the five daily contemplation or reflection. You know what they are? You haven't heard of this before. How many of you haven't heard of this before? Oh, you haven't. Okay, good. The Buddha said if you reflect on these five, it will help you understand the first noble truth. It will help you free your mind. He said this body of ours, made of element, is of the nature to grow old, to get sick, and finally die. The first three, contemplation and reflection. Because it's made of element, it will go the way of nature. Understand not? So when you reflect on this reality, then you realize, hey, this is a nature's process, nature's law. Everything that comes into existence, they will decay, grow old. For the human form and the tree, the plant that have life, that is what they call disease. Understand not? Yeah. Maybe for the timber floor, your house, you don't call it disease. You call it what? Huh? Termite attack. Understand? Because it doesn't affect a life. So they also have what they call similar characteristic like disease. But the human being one is more dominant. Eh? Nowadays you heard a lot about cancer, all those traumatic diseases. Then finally, it will disappear. When this one disappears, we never say it died. But the human being, when the consciousness separate, you say it died. So the Buddha said, you constantly reflect. This body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, disease, and finally die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. So when you understand this reality, whenever you are confronted with this, old age, sickness, and death, you will know how to free your mind. Okay, let's give an example. Disease, most common. when somebody is diagnosed of, let's say, cancer, what is the first thing that will happen to that person? Yeah? If he believes the body belongs to him, this is what he is, there will be a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, correct or not? Your mind will project. Because of that, the Buddha said, through your ignorance and delusion, you attach, you cling, you create the fear, worry, and anxiety, which is dukkha, suffering. But after you have reflected and contemplated, you don't have to, understand? Because this is the reality of this body. Not only me, all of humanity also have. So what must I do? I have to accept this reality, isn't it? If I don't take care of this body well enough, if through my karmic past I have certain DNA coded, when the time comes, when the condition comes, disease will arise. Understand? So what happened? The moment you accept this reality, you don't react, isn't it? You don't create any more fear, worry, anxiety, correct or not? What must you do? Then you tell yourself, okay, I have this. I accept this reality. If I want a second opinion, I seek a second opinion. Understand not? See a doctor. Then after that, confirm again that through biopsies or what, really, got this. Then I ask myself, how can I now deal with this situation of this body? How can I free my mind? Instead of what? Worrying about it. Creating fear and make yourself miserable and what they call suffer. So if you have that understanding, you can reverse all of this very easily. Then you do what you have to do. Means you tell yourself, if I arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety, what is going to happen to me? This negative energy is going to bring about a lot of damage to my body, understand not? The immune system will come down. I will become more weak. Then I have to actually succumb to that disease. Is that what I want? That's why the Buddha taught you the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the fourth noble truth, to reverse all this suffering, to free your mind. He said, if you have the right view to accept the reality of the moment, whatever that happened to you, there are causes and conditions behind. The main one is law of karma. You reap what you sow, it conditions things up. If you don't take care, this will be the result. If you have negative karmic past, the DNA that is coded will be the result. So when the time comes, when there is condition, it will arise. So when you understand this with right view, you never fight, you never react, you never blame, you never create fear, worry, anxiety. You do what you have to do. Means you move on with your life. You tell yourself, as long as I am peaceful and calm, I don't have fear, I have clarity of mind to look at it. Then if I have the good fortune to encounter the Buddha Dharma, to understand the Buddha's teaching, I know how to reverse all this. The Buddha said, when you have this right view, the first Noble Eightfold Path factor, it can arise the right thought. What is right thought? Yeah? Wrong thought, you know. Eh? Wrong thought is the wrong thinking that conditions your suffering, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your misery. That's why the teaching is so beautiful. When you have the right view, you will know how to arise the right thought. What are right thoughts? Right thought that will bring about joy, harmony, peace, happiness within. The positive energy that you need to reverse all this so-called negative energy that condition your body to be more and more sick, more and more stressed up, more and more fearful. So when you have right thought means you meditate on loving kindness. You wish well-being and happiness to your own body. May this body and mind of mine be well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within. This metta can help you reverse and gain back your health. Understand or not? Then together with the advice of the doctor or those who have gone through and recovered from the disease, you have to look for some of these people to advise you, or the support group that bring about what they call good advice to help you recover from this particular first noble truth reality. So when you do that, chances of you recovering is so much higher, understand, huh? Than the first instant where the very normal thing that normal human being will do is to arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and the unhappiness. Then they shut themselves out, they lock themselves out, they refuse to talk to people. Finally, they become so depressed. This is why suffering in this world is so real. So real. So this part, I just emphasize, and I will have to move through faster. Otherwise, I don't have much time to finish. Okay, the Buddha talked about these four realities. Death, of course, is very clear-cut. Then after that, the Buddha talked about what they call separation from loved one. You know, separation is very, very important. This is one of the greatest problems in this planet nowadays. Separation from loved ones. And possession. Or your wealth. Means your property, your money, and all those things. Okay, this one can happen in a few ways, isn't it? Divorce is one. Some more? How to spell? C-E. Not sure of the spelling. Then, death. Divorce is very traumatic. Like, you know, relationship failure. Death can happen in many ways. Nowadays, a lot of nature's disaster, earthquake, tsunami, even snatch thief, road accident, many. It can just happen. And separation can just happen. Okay? Then the other one is forced separation. When you are young, the children, because of poverty, they have to encounter forced separation from their parents, brothers and sisters. So all this is common. Then this one, poverty and wealth, is when you make the wrong decision in life. Your investment go bad. You will land yourself with what they call losses. And this is where financial problems come about. So this fifth one is very important. Then the next one is, the Buddha said, when you are with people whom you don't like, there are many instances of that. That is a reality of life too. When you meet people who are what they call bullies, especially in the school, the children nowadays, they got all this what they call bullies and gangsters within the school. It can bring about a lot of suffering to the children, a lot of fear. Then when you are in the midst of working, career, you know, certain company, not all company of course, where the bosses can be very demanding, it can bring about what? A lot of stress, a lot of fear, a lot of worry. The pressure from career is so strong. So this is the aspect that can bring about a lot of suffering if you don't have the wisdom and the understanding to counter them. Then the seventh one is, the Buddha said, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, you will become afflicted, you will become unhappy and miserable. So all this, what they call seven reality of life and existence, the first noble truth. Once you understand, he said, you will know how to reverse them all and free them. That's why the Buddha said, under modern language, our health problem we call problem of lives. What are the problems you confront in life? First one is what? The most common one. You worry a lot. Your health problem. So that one, under the first four. Disease. Okay? Then, you got your career problem. Some more what? Relationship problem. Correct or not? Your relationship with your loved one, spouse and all those things. Then, financial problem. And all these are very real. Correct or not? So the Buddha said, when you have this, if you are not ready with the understanding, you become afflicted. You become miserable. Okay? So this will take us to what they call the second noble truth. Anybody can recall what is the second noble truth? What is the second noble truth? There is a cause behind all suffering, isn't it? What is the cause? What is the cause? Your craving. Born of your delusion or ignorance. You see, the Buddha said, if you don't believe, there is a noble truth that talk about the cause of arising of suffering. All of suffering arises because of your delusion that condition you to believe this body belongs to you. That's why in the final summary of the first noble truth, the Buddha said, if you attach and cling to this fine aggregate of form and mind, which is what you are, the human being, suffering will arise. So you can check. Your craving is your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, like this body. If you attach and cling to this body, what happened? You worry about it, isn't it? You worry that it will grow old, it will get sick, it will one day die. What do you want? You want it to be forever young. Don't get old, don't get sick, don't die, including your loved one. But the reality is, the nature's law doesn't allow that. Understand? So when you understand this reality, you come to know when you cannot get what you want, suffering will arise. So the second noble truth is very important. It tells you how you become afflicted, how you become miserable. Then you have to reverse this delusion through one, through the third noble truth and the fourth noble truth. So the Buddha said, under the third noble truth, what is the third noble truth? Suffering need not be. Suffering need not be. So the Buddha say what? There is a noble truth that talk about cessation of all suffering. He said you don't have to suffer. Cessation of all suffering is possible. Nibbana in the here and the now, enlightenment is possible. So there is a noble truth that talk about this. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So this is the most beautiful part of the noble truth. Correct or not? You don't have to suffer, the Buddha said. The only thing you need is to understand his Buddha Dharma, his teaching. That's why I say as a Buddhist, we are really blessed. Truly, truly blessed. Understand not? When you cultivate this teaching of his, when you are able to realize what he is sharing with you, when you can awaken to the truth, you can become enlightenment. Nibbana, enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. So this noble truth is most important. Then the Buddha never stopped there. He said, there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you always hear about this Noble Eightfold Path. Eh? Noble Eightfold Path. There are eight path factors there, the Buddha said. If you will cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering.
or what he called dukkha.
So this is the accumulation of his teaching. This is the meditation. This is the part you have to understand. So the meditation as taught by the Buddha is very simple. Whatever form of training you develop through your mental cultivation, or what they call meditation, if it can lead about the transformation in you to have this Noble Eightfold Path cultivated, then that is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because the Buddha said, when you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It is very, very true. Whatever suffering, whatever problem that you have in this existence or life, in this universe, if you were to apply that Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the cessation of all suffering. What is this Noble Eightfold Path? Eh? You familiar? The eight path factor, what are they? First one is what? Right view, isn't it? What is right view? Right view with regards to what? First one is right view, huh? Right view. What is right view? Right view is right understanding. When you understand the truth, all of truth that governs life and existence, that is right view. When you don't have that understanding, then you don't have right view. So this part is very important. The first very important right view is law of karma. This is the first spiritual law. The Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So karma is so important. Correct or not? You are born of it. You inherit everything. You are what you are because of it. And each and every moment of your life, you cannot blame anybody for it. Karmically, you are conditioned by it and supported by it. So if karma is so important, this is the basis of all life. That's why you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. What must you do? You must take care of karma, isn't it? When you take care of karma, karma take care of your life, correct or not? Because you are born of it. So how do you take care of karma? Huh? You have to keep your precept, isn't it? To avoid all evil, isn't it? That's why the advice of the Buddha comes from this understanding. When you avoid all evil, you take care of karma. When you do good, you reap the merits of good karma. And when you purify your mind, you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. You realize the wisdom and the enlightenment. You become free from all suffering. You become noble ones. That's why this right view is very important. And when you have this right view, you will know how to arise the... What is the next path factor? Huh? Right thought. Huh? What are right thoughts? Thoughts that bring about what? Huh? Peace, harmony, happiness, joy. Understand or not? What are wrong thoughts? Wrong thoughts are thoughts that brings about your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your unhappiness, your sorrow, your lamentation. When you recall all the unhappy thoughts, the fearful thoughts, like the early days problem, child abuse and all those things, all those traumatic experiences that you have gone through, what will happen? That's why when you recall the unhappy past, the fear arises, the worry arises, the anxiety arises. So this is where suffering can arise. So when you have right thought, you have love, you have compassion, you have wisdom, you have what they call sincerity, honesty, gratitude, contentment. All these are right thought, wholesome thought. When you have kindness, pleasantness, friendliness, love and compassion, the caring attitude, they are all right thought. So right thought will condition what they call the third power factor. Right speech, right action, and right what? Livelihood. Very good. So these first five is very important. Then after that, you have what they call the sixth one is what? Right effort. You know what is this right effort? There are four. The first two is right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought or wrong thought. So this right effort is very important. When you have mindfulness, when you have trained your mind, you can see your own evil roots, the greed, hatred, and delusion. These are wrong thoughts that will condition all your fear, worry, anxiety, and your suffering. So you have to arise the, what they call right effort to abandon them. There are five ways, the Buddha said. First, think of the direct opposite, right thought. Second, think of the consequence, the danger of holding on to that wrong thought. It will condition the evil root to condition your suffering. The third one is meditative. You just silence your mind and feel. The agitated wrong thought or angry thought or the emotional thought, the fearful thought, you just silence your mind. It will return to its original state of stillness and silence, the true mind. The agitated mind, the emotional, negative, with evil root mind, they are conditioned arising. They are not intrinsic to your mind. So he said, in meditation, you just train your mind to be silent. You can feel the dissipation of this negative energy. Your anger, your emotion will all settle down. So he said, when you do that, you realize you don't have to do anything. You just have to silence your mind like you do in meditation. Train your mind to be mindful, aware, relaxed, and silent within. The evil thought will disappear. The fourth one is to develop the wisdom. He said, trace the origination factor, how you become angry, how you become emotional, how the evil root comes to you. He said, if you meditate, you will know. It comes through your sense door. One of the six sense door. The most powerful are these three. From whatever you see, whatever you hear, and whatever you think, these three doors can make you angry, unhappy, miserable. So this is abandoning. Eh? Then after that, the second right effort to prevent the arising of this unwholesome thought. So these two right effort is to counter the negative thought. What are the other two right efforts? To cultivate the wholesome thought that is still not in you. Understand not? That's why you have to constantly arise the love, the friendliness, the patience within you, the sincerity, the kindness, the contentment, the gratitude. What they call your truthfulness, your honesty, your sincerity, all these are part and parcel of right thought. Develop them. Right effort to cultivate them. Then the last right effort is to maintain and refine upon whatever right thought or wholesomeness that you already have. So when you have this right effort cultivated, you are actually purifying your mind, following the third advice of the Buddha. Then the last two is meditative. The seventh one is, what is it? Right? Mindfulness, or sati. This one is meditative. And this one, very few people understand. Sati is what the Buddha called mindfulness. Mindfulness is when you are aware within, silent, without thought. That is mindfulness. When you can be with the moment in awareness without thought, that is mindfulness. So if this can be developed, this is the first factor of enlightenment. You need this quality of mind to meditate. Without sati, you cannot proceed. The second factor of enlightenment is what the Buddha called Dhamma Vichaya. Dhamma investigation. Without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. You cannot put to test all the teachings of the Buddha. Like just now we said, what is right thought, what is wrong thought, your mental intention behind. You cannot see. The Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot cultivate. Without mindfulness, you cannot see your mental intention behind all your actions, speech, thought, and livelihood. So because of that, sati is very important. And when you train your mind to develop this quality of enlightenment factor, sati, samadhi will arise, the last path factor. Samadhi is what they call the unwavering mind, the collected mind, the mind that is already composed, collected, unwavering, does not react to sense experience anymore. This is the mind, finally, will allow you to have the clarity. Sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are, and through that they trigger off wisdom, understanding, awakening to the truth. And when you have the wisdom, your right view becomes more and more refined. Then you will understand the next two right view, which is the Four Noble Truths, the Law of Dependent Origination. Yeah. So with that, I will end the talk. Yeah? Because when you have the Noble Eightfold Path cultivated, you will become what they call noble ones, enlightened ones. And when you are a noble one and enlightened one, you are incapable of negativity. You have a lot of wisdom that bring about harmony, friendliness, love, and the compassion to make you very caring, very kind, very pleasant. That will allow us to realize the vision that your society would like to actually implement and hopefully one day realize this beautiful and important vision of having the whole Dhamma Center and the Buddhist community transform. That is towards a very, very friendly, loving, and caring Buddhist community and the Buddhist Dhamma Center. Okay, so with this, I will end the talk. Yeah? Then if you got any question, maybe you can ask me. Yeah? Anybody got any question? Do you all understand? Any question? Oh, don't have. Oh, okay. They have requested me to do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then you can make your aspiration. It can help you. Okay, I will chant the usual Pali version. For those who understand, you can follow. You can chant together. For those who don't quite understand, you just silence your mind, compose your mind, and just rejoice. You just say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Bring about the calm and composed mind that rejoices. Okay, sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakan tuloka sasana itawata cha amehi Sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Ipmina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawat nibana patia Sadu Sadu Sadu, sadu.